When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, welcome to the Manchester City Football Social. Thanks for listening. And don't forget, if you're listening to the first time, make sure you hit that subscribe button. We're going to be talking about Manchester City all night, about the Spurs game, about the FA Cup. I've been joined as well by Ant McGinley and Alex Hill. You all right, guys?
Yeah, very well.
Yeah, lovely podcast.
This is fun. Weird, though, that you're here now and then you're not going to be here.
Oh, yeah,
in
Alex
a
is about to be late in 2 minutes from now. But anyway, we'll see you on the other side.
Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Hello there, guys. My name is Stephen McInerney. I'm here with Ant McGinley, and Alex is not quite
here. He's lost a lot of weight, hasn't he?
He's stuck in traffic on the Mancunian Way. We can all relate to that. But anyway, this is the Manchester Football Social with Bloom and Rising. We're here for an hour of Manchester City talk. It sounds like absolute heaven. We've got loads to go through today. So if you want to call in about absolutely anything, 0345 111 7625. You can text in as well on 87711, because it's 2019. You can get involved on Twitter as well. MCR Footy Social is our at on Twitter, MCR Footy Social. If you want to talk about anything to do with Manchester City, get in contact with the show. And are you okay, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. I was just going to say, if you've also got any updates on the traffic on the Mancunian Way, or Alex is listening, that'd be quite good.
Alex is probably listening to us now. Alex, get in now. We need you. We need your croaky voice.
You know those things when you sometimes speak to the radio? Alex can actually do that now.
It's great, isn't it? It's really nice. But anyway, we've got loads to talk about, because the games are coming thick and fast at the moment. There's football coming out of everyone's ears at the moment. We've got games just all the time. And obviously Manchester City are about to play Tottenham tonight in the Champions League quarterfinals. We're going to be talking about that. But first, we're going to talk about the FA Cup, because Manchester City Football Club are through to yet another cup final. That's what we do these days, isn't it?
Yeah, although I have to admit, like, do you remember the last time we were in an FA Cup final against a team beginning with W?
I prefer not to talk about it. That's
a little bit nervous about that.
I've not even made the connection yet about that, the W thing.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
Oh, no. We're going there, aren't we? But anyway, this one was obviously secured by a 1-0 victory against Brighton. It wasn't a classic. I mean, we can all probably agree on that. And maybe some other moments kind of overshadowed the game.
I think if you watch the first 5 minutes and the last 2 minutes, it was a good game. That little burst from Sterling at the end when they were 2-1, and his little legs in those socks. I've never seen them move so fast, the bright socks. But apart from that, and there was nothing positive that really stood out for me from the game, there was a few bits of argy-bargy.
But there was indeed. We'll go on to Cowork in a bit, actually. Let's just talk about the positives first, in terms of we actually are in another Hurricane final. Obviously, as well, Pep said beforehand, they said after, in general, it's not easy to steamroll every single team. And you've got to give Brighton a bit of credit as well. They were up for the battle. They genuinely put in a lot of effort. And City, once again, have found a way to win a game that's important to them. And is there an argument to suggest as well that this kind of game, this kind of performance, where you don't always do that well, it tends to motivate you more for the next game, which is obviously tonight? Could it be an actual blessing in disguise?
I think maybe that it's a game with pressure, because I think losing a final is one thing, but losing the game before the final, that's the, because you at least get the runners-up medal if you make it all the way to the final. So I think there's probably more pressure on you in the semi-final in many ways.
It's interesting.
You can always say, we got to the final. And I think it must be starting to creep through at some point, because it's very difficult for us as City fans to not talk about the FA Cup in isolation. Because it's now part of something else. And it's this weird thing where we could win the FA Cup. We've already won the Carabao Cup. And we could win the league, and yet we could still feel unsatisfied at the end of the season. depending what happens in the other competition.
Yeah, it's weird how far we come on that front, isn't it? In terms of like how we could have such a great season, still feel not like fully whole there. But I'm just genuinely delighted that we're there now, because obviously we can put the FA Cup to bed now until after the season. It's just really nice, you know, that we don't have to think about that. And that to me will really help us in the Premier League and the Champions League kind of quest, so to speak, because it's one less trophy to worry about.
Yeah, well,
while,
I'm looking,
really
at looking at the fixture list, it doesn't help us that much.
No, it really doesn't at all. In general, talking about FA Cup, we can't really go too far without talking about the ticket prices, because they're absolutely... Oh, Alex is here, by the way. Alex,
hello.
Hello, Alex. Yay.
Did you abandon the car with the hazards on?
I know, yeah. I'm so sorry for my lateness.
It's okay, mate. It's Manchester for you.
I know, that is Manchester, but I would have been later if it wasn't for the excess Manchester traffic and travel updates. get me here quicker.
Cha-ching.
And also, Alex is wearing the most wonderful shirt as well. I wish you could see it, but it's fantastic. I really like the shirt, Alex. Well done.
Cheers, man. I thought I'd dress up for the magic of radio.
It's brilliant. We were just talking about the FA Cup ticket prices, so I was just about to mention him. I'm not sure if you guys have seen them yet, but they've been announced. They're typically scandalous. The cheapest ticket is £45, then it's £70, then it's £115, and then £145. They are the ticket prices for the FA Cup final. And given what, obviously, the legendary Ina was on the radio yesterday, slating the FA quite a lot, and given all the talk at the moment around the money in the game and how people are expected to pay for their nose, does this feel like yet another slap in the face?
Slap in the face, I think, exactly the right word, isn't it? It sort of reminds me, the way the FA treat football fans in this country. You know when your favourite band go, oh, we're going to do a homecoming show. It's one for the fans. And you go, oh, it's going to be awesome. And you look at the tickets and they're £1 million. You're like, that's going to be, this isn't for the fans. This is for your accountant. That's who it's for.
I mean, is it all down to the FA, or is it just... Because I was thinking, because when you go... Because I've been to watch the NFL at Wembley, went last year, and... That was a similar price for it, but at least that way, you're getting 3 or 4 hours worth of.
And the games are so much less frequent. Like, you play about 18 games a season over in the NFL, and you play like up to 50, 60 games a year. And also, the NFL is everything we don't want this competition to be. In terms of like, if they're looking to America for their influence, we're screwed. We're genuinely screwed, because it's a different sport, it's a different world. It's sanitized, it's corporate, it's commercial. And that would be the death of the beautiful game for me if it went anywhere near that.
Is there an argument to say that they're charging more because we are a club with a lot of money? Because I'd just like to point out, if the FA are listening now, Sheikh Mansour's bank account has no relation to mine whatsoever.
To be fair to them, and this is an awful way to rephrase it, but it's actually the same tickets prices last year. They froze the prices, which is very kind of them to freeze it at such an exorbitant rate. But yeah, it is the same prices. It just feels a bit, I don't know, a bit gross, doesn't it?
Well, I suppose that it comes down to as well, like, how do you choose as well? Like, because I'm guessing, like, I certainly couldn't afford to go to, like, everything this month, because I did a quick sort of back of a fag packet calculation, and to go to all the games this month was about £700 before you put in travel and stuff.
Wow.
So when you start to look at things like that, and you go, right, well, I'll tell you what, I can get to all the games, a couple of away games, and I can get to one final this season, right? So do you go to... Do you miss the semi-final, which has been a lot of criticism for? And then do you go, well, I've done the Carabao Cup, so I'm not going to go to another one. Like, how do you, you know, as a fan, you want to be at every game. You want to be there.
Of course you do. And that the thing is, I think I want to say this. I'm seriously considering boycotting the FA Cup final, because I think, and it isn't just the ticket price. It's everything else that goes around it. It's the half five time. So there's no trains that come back to the Northwest. The appropriate
That's
time
unless you
gamble, there's a 9 o'clock train, so you assume that the game isn't going to go to extra time and penalties, and then you can't enjoy the game because you can't watch the trophy presentation, because you think, well, I've got to rush to get the tube to get back my train back to Houston or whatever. So there's all that going on. It's when every pub outside the ground wants to charge you, you know, £5-6 for a pint, and then it's the whole experience of it. It's just, you feel like you're being ripped off. I don't begrudge the FA trying to pay off their stadium. I don't begrudge the pub's trying to make a few quid on the beer. I totally understand why. I understand that we live in a country where people can set their own prices and there's market forces to play. But what I object to is this sort of weird narrative that has been built. And the people who have built that are professional journalists. They are multimillionaire ex-footballers. People with the idea of this empty seats brigade. We're all match-going fans. We all know that Manchester City have empty seats home and away. We've all seen it at certain games. We've also seen Liverpool, Manchester United, Arsenal... Chelsea, Tottenham, all on empty seats.
Barcelona,
all
the Real Madrid.
Barcelona, Real Madrid. If that proves your point to you, people, you can go as a tourist to the new Camp and see a game.
I did the research.
The biggest club in the world.
Because research helps win arguments, essentially. I did the research, and they average about 70,000 seats in their 100,000 stadium per game, and they've been as low as 40,000 this season. But no one really says anything because it's Barcelona.
But Barcelona as well, you can literally walk down the Ramblers and they've got little ticket offices, and you can just, as long as it's not like against Real Madrid, you can just literally on the day go up and buy a ticket and an official thing and walk into the ground.
I feel like in general people just got they're letting football rivalry get ahead of important matters that affect all of us as fans in general. But like, we're getting very much down the ticket thing here. Alex, you've just walked in, obviously it'd be great to hear your opinions on the game at the weekend, because obviously we're through to another cup final.
We are through to another cup final. I thought it's a real shame that like, this whole weird ticket thing is overtaken that,
because, you know, it shouldn't, really.
It's because I suppose we wouldn't be having this conversation if we're only have one trip to Wembley this season, and the fact that we're going back and you keep being reminded, and it's exciting. I thought what I think is sort of put on the table is I only thought we were at 6 or 7 out of 10 throughout the whole game. I don't even think no discredit to Brighton, but they didn't push us, they didn't force us, and it wasn't the exhausting game that I think tonight will be. I think it just sort of shows how we're levelling up, that even at a canter we can get to cup finals, and it's a great time to be a Blue.
You hinted it beforehand about the Walker thing. Now, obviously, that's kind of split opinion. I'm quite old school, really. I thought the Walker thing wasn't a sending off. A lot of people are probably laughing now hearing that, but I kind of thought it was just, you know, it's you basically get context. Walker, right, he's, for one, he's playing at Wembley, so that adds to the atmosphere.
Yeah,
two, he's a really kind of passionate, you know, he's a passionate footballer. The blood's pumping, the adrenaline's racing, the testosterone's all over the place. You've got a massive game against Spurs, his former club, coming on a few days later. And obviously, at the moment, City are fighting on all fronts. To me, I think the referee looked at that and thought, these are two players who are niggling at each other here. He stamped on his leg, he's headbutted them. The VAR have seen it and thought, they're just annoyed at each other. They'll calm down. It's yellow.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, it wasn't a stamp in the true sense, because I think there was a bit of a...
He knew what he was doing.
You could sometimes see it in slow-mo. You see the little thought pop in their hand and think, he's having this. That didn't happen. There wasn't enough time for that to happen in this. But Walker's not seen because he's got his back to him. And obviously thought, I've got this. And that's my problem with it, because I think what Walker's done, and obviously he's pumped up, he's retaliated effectively. He's got up and he's got in the guy's face. Now, I said this on Sunday with Alex on the show. Like, if you did that at work or down the pub, you know, that's, you know, something's going to go off if that happens. Like, you know, and you off the premises at work and something else if you're in the pub when you do that. But I think the way the game's going, I think we're moving towards a stage where, although there's been this big debate about, well, it was the contact and he didn't move his head forward and that kind of thing, I think it's going to get to the stage where almost it's going to be, there has to be like a 6-inch gap between you at all times. Otherwise, it's a penalty. No, I can see that happening.
To me, I think in general, obviously with the work thing, is like, if we were that riled up at work, you're not in the right job for one, put it out there, because you shouldn't be that angry at work in general. But I don't know, I like to give him the... I think the referee in general did the right thing. I think footballers, it's so much at stake, and we forget how much footballers actually do care. We think because because they're millionaires and whatever, and because they've got the dream job, like they just be able to switch off emotion. And like, I actually met my best mate by getting into a fight at football, you know, because that was at a five-a-side thing. Like, and we just kicked off afterwards, like, sorry about that. And then we became mates, you know, kind of eventually. But the point is, it happens to all of us, and why would it be any different footballers? But it doesn't necessarily mean... It's like if an orange card existed, that would be... Because if you think about what a red card means, it means you're off for the game, and it means you're off for the next two or three games with a suspension. It wasn't that bad to warrant that. So that's why I think the referee probably decided...
I do sit sort of halfway on this one, because I think if I was a Brighton fan, I would still be complaining about it now that it was red. I think as a City fan, you don't want it to be a red card. I think we sort of look at it through those...
But I love the passion. I love the passion of it. I want my players to care as much as Walker does, but I just worry that in the Champions League...
Oh yeah, definitely.
He's going to be walking.
I'm not going to deny that. And he's very lucky, obviously. But you know, luck plays a big part in football. And how important this is now, Alex. To essentially, is it a massively good thing that we can put this game to side now until after the season, the FA Cup final? We'd have to think about the FA Cup now for another like 5-6 weeks potentially.
Yeah, I think it's great to have the locker to sort of look forward to. I think, and it's just that whole culture of it now, is that we're winning games. It's such a cliche word nowadays, but the momentum of it, you know. cup final, big celebrations on the coach on the way back, to take that mentality going into the next game, you know, and it means we can now shift our focus to the Champions League.
Were you concerned about the performance at all? Because it wasn't a great performance, was it, really, if we're being honest?
And I, like I said before, it was 6 or 7 out of 10, but it feels like we're gearing up rather than gearing down. You know, it feels like we're accelerating. I like how it's going. And I think I'd prefer a 1-0 and a 7 out of 10 performance than it's a 4-0, but we exhaust ourselves and we look a shell of what we're capable of tonight. Dare I say tonight is a bigger game than the Brighton game, I think.
I'm more nervous about the Palace game as a City fan, but I'm looking forward to that. But I would say, at least with the Champions League, we've got another chance out in the second leg. So individually, I probably would go for the FA Cup there. But I can see where you come from there. I think to the board members and, you know, to Mansour and Otto, they want the Champions League more than the FA Cup, don't they?
So here's something else, talking about sort of narratives and the size of games. It feels like the conversation is so it's so driven around the quadruple. That's what everyone talks about. That if we won the treble this year, I really, really think it would be branded as a failure.
Yeah,
that people would moan about it. I can't believe we won the treble. We only won the treble.
Would that be without the FA Cup then, or without?
Yeah. Interestingly as well, did you see what Pep said in the press conference this week? He says, you know, why now is the Community Shield not counted as a trophy? Now, I don't know if he was having a dig at Mourinho, obviously he famously counted that as one, because he says, surely we should be talking about the quintuple.
I can see producer Niall's face recoiling in horror. We had an argument yesterday off air about that. And I essentially said, but why not? I actually kind of agree, because we don't count it. None of us English fans count the Community Shield as a thing. Whereas in Spain or Germany, they count these kind of equivalent trophies as actually being important.
I want to go for it all. Let's go for a couple. Let's go. League Cup, FA Cup, Champions League, Premier League, Manchester Reserves Open Shield, the under-16s. We'll take them all. The Stockport Sunday afternoon, five-a-side. We'll take them.
Trivia question. The only team to not manage to sit out of cup competition this season? Go on, anyone? You're confused looking at me.
Yeah, very.
Checker Day Trophy. We had a team in that.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah,
so essentially, yeah. I see some fists flying around the studio there. But yeah, that's the only team that knocked us out. That we could have concluded that, couldn't we, as well, if we'd won that, I imagine. But obviously, we didn't get the Checker Day Trophy. But in general, I'm really happy about the FA Cup. In general, though, do you feel like it's got the same prestige anymore? Because it feels like, maybe it's because we've got like bigger fish to fry in terms of the title race is really, really intense. And obviously, the Champions League, what we want. I actually also personally enjoy the League Cup more these days. I know it sounds sacrilegious, but I think I love the fact that it's mid-season and you get that boost in February and you get to see some young players involved. It feels like more fun to me. It's just a personal take on it, but you know.
I think with the League Cup, it seems to still be, you get these occasional moments of an upset in it, but it's still very much the bigger teams that come through. With the FA Cup, you still have that whole cliche of the magic of the cup, and you do genuinely feel that, you know, like there's going to be something, and Elton John's going to be there on the day, and it's just like anything can, and that
can happen. Elton John's going to be there.
Well, I'll tell you what, the thing is, you watch the day after us, the semi final between Wolves and Watford. What a game that was!
And so
I'd rather a game like that than the game we had against Brighton. Obviously, I'd prefer we were on the right side of it.
Having said that, the Carabao Cup final was a really good game. You know, the Chelsea-Manchester City one. I know it went to penalties in the end, but that was a fantastic game. But anyway, guys, we're going to be back in a bit after a break. But don't forget, head over to Manchester 40 Social, our Twitter page, because we're compiling a worst ever City and United 11. We're getting votes in positions. I think what's up at the moment, is it right back? So basically, go and vote for the worst ever Manchester right back and help compile this dreadful 11. It'll give you nightmares. Anyway, we'll be back talking about the Spurs game after the break. See you in a bit.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show. Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Hello, welcome back to the Manchester Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. We are talking all things City. My name's Alex Hilton. I'm here in the studio with Stephen McInerney.
Hello.
And Ant McGinley.
If you want to get in touch with us, 0345 111 7625 or 87711 on the text at MCR Footy Social. Just noticing on the traffic and travel, they didn't mention Mancunian Way. Maybe you were the problem.
If there's a Ford Fiesta parked blocking everybody, I do apologise.
Guys, it's a big game tonight. Again, another massive game. We've got Spurs in the Champions League quarterfinals. You know why I'm nervous? Because what happened this time last year, we had another English team in the quarterfinals. The narrative then was all about a stadium, Anfield, and the narrative tonight is all about another stadium, the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Have we had any bus news? Because that's what we were getting this time last year, weren't we?
I can't imagine a rude awakening from the Spurs fans on that front. Can anyone really imagine? Is it actually going to be an issue, this stadium thing, in your opinion?
I think certainly for Spurs, I think you know, Harry Kane and Dele Alli, I'm sure, will be sort of getting that sort of rose-tinted White Hart Lane vision. I think it's an exciting thing for any club, isn't it? A new ground, and it will mean an awful lot. But also, the effect that it will have on Spurs, I think, if we score first. Spurs, I hate to say it, but they've got that potential to bottle in them. I think they'll panic if they're rattled and they're a big new stadium. They won't want to embarrass themselves, and the pressure's on them more than it's on us.
How did you feel when the draw came out? Because last year, when we got Liverpool, it was the one team I feared getting in the draw last year.
Yeah.
This year, I didn't feel frightened about any team that were potentially coming out.
Well, for me, I did a video on my YouTube channel and I ranked through the teams, and these are the ones that I wanted second out of the draw, out of the the seven other teams. Like, it was Porto first, then Spurs, and then after that, I didn't want Ajax after that because I presumed Ajax would just be more of a kind of unknown in general. Largely, we win games against Spurs. We just tend to these days. We won our last three, you know, against them, and quite comfortably, really, if we're being honest. And Spurs, they're obviously a very good team, but you've got to also bear in mind that during this draw, their form was terrible. You know, like, I'm going to look at the fixtures recently. Obviously, they won the first game at the new stadium, the shiny new stadium, 2-0 against Crystal Palace. Before that, though, they lost to Liverpool 2-1. They lost to Southampton 2-1. They did beat Dortmund, I'll give you that. But then they drew against Arsenal 1-0, lost to Chelsea, lost to Burnley. So in general, their form is really hit and miss at the moment. So it's really strange that we're going to Champions League game tonight, and I don't feel that nervous. I think it's because we've got two games to get ahead of a team, which I think we are without a doubt better than. And I think we've got a bit of confidence at the moment. And I also don't really fear this stadium because I feel it is. How can you fear something that no one really knows yet, if that makes sense? Like, Spurs fans aren't uncomfortable though, yeah. They'll be looking around at this shiny new thing and they'll be excited, but I don't think they'll be able to create a hostile atmosphere, because hostility comes from history somewhere, and it comes from familiarity. And at the moment, it'll all be choreographed. I can't even say that word tonight, I'm too tired. They can't say, I feel like it's, expecting too much for it to be an actual impact. If anything, it could make Spurs more nervous because they've got to perform in front of their own fans.
Well, they did have that poster going around. I don't know if you saw that early in the year. It was the only place to watch Champions League football in London this season.
Oi.
And this potentially could be the only game they get of the Champions League at the stadium this year.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Steve. Because when you're at a new ground, it must be strange. Because I think with the Etihad now, I've sat in the same seat for years and years and years and years. And you build a relationship with people whose name you don't even know. People who just sort of sit two or three seats away and you go, that's the guy that always moans about that, and that's the person who did that. And I remember when we beat this team and that happened. And like 93-20, you know, I can see the people jumping up around me and you're hugging and kissing. And those moments, and you feel much more confident making noise and atmosphere with people that you've been familiar with for a decade.
Yeah.
And I think for White Hart Lane, the people who've never met people sat next to and sort of, and know, that awkward atmosphere.
That is so important as well, because if you think about it, like, no matter how long you've been a City fan, there have been changes. You know, first and foremost, you're going to have gone through manager changes and squad changes, but then we've had a couple of badge changes. You know, if you go back, you were at Main Road before the Etihad, all that. And actually, the thing that stays constant is the people around you. Yeah, it's the people that you go to the pub to watch the games with, the people you watch at home with, or the people that you stand next to. And so they're not going to necessarily have that. I don't know if they've necessarily, because I know they've kind of built it on the footprint of the old stadium, haven't they?
Yeah.
So I don't know if they've kind of done something that arranges that. But everybody's raving about this place like it's the Starship Enterprise.
It does look beautiful. Starship Enterprise, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Maybe they could beam up some good results because their form has been really bad recently. Oh, what a zinger that was. Sorry. Pochettino. Pochettino basically has been saying in a press conference before that this could be the biggest game of his career as a coach, which I guess, once again, levels, really, I guess. In general, Guardiola has been here. He's done it a million times. But are we underestimating Spurs here a little bit? You know, like, because I feel personally like I am, and I feel like I'm probably getting a bit carried away because they're still Spurs. You know, they've got Eriksen, they've got Son, one of the best players in the league this year. They've got Dele Alli, they've got Harry Kane. I know the midfield maybe is a bit light, but this is a team that we should probably take. I'm sure Guardiola takes them a lot more seriously than I do, put it that way. But are we underestimating them a little bit?
I think they've got to be respected, haven't they? Harry Kane has scored 17 goals in 17 Champions League games. That's a phenomenal record for any striker. We forget that there, like you say, there were three or four elite footballers that Spurs are going to put out. I think they've got, they've been underestimated in pretty much every round so far. They did beat Dortmund very convincingly.
Yeah.
They've beaten Real Madrid. You know, they've taken some of the best teams in Europe on. And if we're going to call ourselves one of the best teams in Europe, you've got to look at what other teams have, how they've underestimated. This Champions League has been full of shocks. Who saw Ajax get into the quarterfinals? Manchester City, we're a club that have been favourites, for most of the games we've been knocked out. We were favourites against Monaco. Dare I say we were favourites against Liverpool last year?
And even go back, we were favourites against Celtic, and that didn't go too well either.
Precisely. And we have never, ever, ever beaten English opposition in a European competition.
That terrifies me. I hate omens, and that's a big one. You know. One man who could change that, Sergio Aguero. Now, apparently he's fit. He's been training with the first team. He was training on the gorgeous new pitch yesterday at the stadium. Is it a bit of a risk to start him at the moment? You know, because I wouldn't. I'm too scared what it could mean if he gets an injury. But I do expect him to be on the bench. But it seems too much to me.
I think that the plus point is exactly what you just said. It's a gorgeous new pitch. It's not like the last time we went down to London to play Spurs.
Terrible, wasn't
when
it?
We played them the day after the NFL. And that was like, literally, you know, like when you used to play down the field the day after the tractor had cut the grass. It was basically like that.
Clumps of grass at each other. I love those bits. That was good fun.
So I think if he's going to get through a game without a problem, I think it's going to be there. I think... The interesting thing for me about that is Pochettino's describing that as his most important match. And we're in this month of, as you said earlier, Alex, about the quadruple and everything being focused on that. Everyone's talking about it as like, we've got to win every game. Can they win every game? And actually, when it comes down to it, we could get through this with two draws, you know, if the results go our right way. So there is a little bit of... You know, we've got a chance to take it easy. I'm not saying we should take it easy, but if things go wrong tonight, we do have a chance to address it and put it right.
Which is obviously a huge factor. That's why I guess maybe I'm not too nervous, because I do just trust us to sort it.
Although we didn't do that last year.
Stop bringing up Liverpool. It terrifies me still.
Don't say that word.
Thinking about it. Onto the left back problem, because obviously we'll know the team is, by the way, in like 12 minutes. We reckon it goes a bit early on Champions League night, so obviously keep listening, because we'll have the team news and we'll react to that as it happens. But one big question mark obviously at the moment is left back, because obviously Mendy's just come back. He was okay at the weekend, before in general. Zinchenko's currently out injured. Who can we see starting tonight at left back? I reckon it could be Laporte personally.
It could be a range of people. Guardiola, you never really
know. Delf is still out, isn't he? So there's no chance of him coming back in, which would be the other go-to who would go for that.
Yeah, I think, there's a range of options to go for. Laporte would be a really, really interesting one. I think the only question mark I would have is that Spurs have an awful lot of pace out wide, and I wouldn't back Laporte in a foot race if he was coming up against, say, Eriksen or Danny Rose or... there is that. But then also, I think you look at Ben Mendy. I thought he was great at the weekend.
Great.
I thought, bearing in mind he's a player who's played about 10 minutes of football.
And he's been up
till
half three every night dancing on tables.
Lock up your daughters, Ben Mendy's about. But you know what? Ben Mendy is sort of turned into a much more polite Balotelli sort of figure at Manchester City. And I think...
A polite Balotelli.
I can get behind that. It's like, does that mean he asks permission before setting the fireworks off in your bathroom?
I think he sort of does, because whereas Balotelli, there was a sort of almost love-hate relationship with Mancini. He was like a naughty schoolboy. I think Ben Mendy's like a sort of a very cute Labrador that wees on your carpet. You can't stay a man a little cute Ben Mendy. Do you know what I mean? Because he's just so much fun.
I'd love to see you stay calm if he came around and peed on your carpet.
Whatever you're into, that I'm not going to judge you for that kind of stuff. Whatever, you know, floats your boat and all that. Do you think he's actually going to get his form back, though? Because my worry, I'm an eternal pessimist because I'm a lifelong Manchester City fan, so that is always the angle I choose. Pessimism, sadly. But I'm worried that it's just a lot of injuries. And I remember when he played his first game for City, he looked absolutely lightning quick. And I know he's not obviously maybe fully testing himself. But you do wonder if like 2 years of injuries are going to take the toll on his physicality, because that was a big part of his ability.
I mean, we have a history of players, and I suppose lots of clubs have players come in with big fanfare and then having a big injury. So I'm thinking, do you remember Bozhinov? You
know, and
he came. He looked great enough. Was it three games, and he broke his leg, and then
again and again.
And that was it. And similarly across the road, Dan Dublin going to United, and Alan Smith both broke their legs very early on as well. So not that I'm shedding a tear for those, but it does happen. But then at the same time, look at the squad that we've got and the players that we've got.
Yeah,
like De Bruyne has had what, three knee injuries since he's joined us?
Oh, it's, yeah. Either way,
Aguero's had a couple of surgeries as well.
Aguero's always did our Christmas thing.
Company is like RoboCop now. The way he's been through everything, so I'm not ruling it out. But you can understand as well that if you've been through that surgery or that operation or that injury, the coming back, you're a little tentative when you get back there, and it takes you a while to get into it. And you see a lot of times, and it happened with De Bruyne early in the season, you bring people back too soon.
Yeah. Would you start him tonight then, or not?
Yes.
Alex?
I would start him. But I do think with Mendy and the injuries and the recurring issues, I'm not a physio. I don't work behind the club. I don't see behind the scenes or how things go on.
Thank God
but the
for
difference
that.
Between Mendy and Zinchenko is that all we've seen out of Zinchenko for the last 3 days is videos in the gym. And sort of, he's very, very quick, keen to a lot of photos going out of him. Look how hard I'm working. Look what I'm doing here. I'm trying to get fit again. I want to play. Can't wait for the next match. Can't wait to get behind the boys. With Ben Mendy, we don't get that. And there's lots of him running up another touchline in all the latest fashion. And there's lots of him going off to these places and exploring the world. And I do wonder a little bit if how much of those recurring injuries and that time it is taking to get back fit, how much of that is on the shoulders of Ben Mendy, and as much as he obviously loves being a footballer, how much he actually loves doing the football.
Well, I think even if you go back to the All or Nothing documentary of last season, when you look at that, Zinchenko was just there, and he was just kind of like going, you kind of felt like he'd kind of like won the lottery a little bit to be there, and he was just like, I'm really lucky to be here, but he was trying his damnedest to be there and make the most of it, whereas Mendy was off going to Super Bowls and all these different things and doing the social media, which he's got in trouble for. So I think in terms of the characteristics, I think Zinchenko, personality-wise, is more the type of footballer that Guardiola wants.
It's just a shame he's not fit, isn't it? Like, one person, though, we can definitely not question the focus of is Kevin De Bruyne. You know, it looks to me like his legs are catching up with his head now. You know, finally he's getting back to his form. He was fantastic the other night against the game before Brighton. I've forgotten, my mind's gone blank, when he got the assist and scored the goal. Cardiff. Yeah. He was fantastic then. In general, he's been quite loud as well in the press conference. Incidentally, I go back to the stadium thing briefly. He did say beforehand, it is classic De Bruyne, this is always blunt, which I quite enjoy in his press conferences. He said, I don't care about the stadium. I care about the team we play. Everybody talks about the stadium like it's something special. Everybody has a stadium. Everybody has supporters, which is classic Kevin De Bruyne there. And do you know what? He's got a point. But are we actually seeing the best of De Bruyne now, and how important can he be? Because he's got generally pretty good record against Spurs. He's scored a few goals against them. He's the kind of guy who scores a big goal on a big Champions League night. Can he be the difference tonight?
I think it doesn't really matter who he's playing against. It just depends on how fit he is and where his head's at. Because I think what we saw in the semi-final on Saturday with that ball in, it was, I'll have to watch it again to be sure, but it was getting to that stage where I think was it Chelsea last season when they came up to the Etihad, he just put on this performance where I swear to God the whole game he didn't look every time he played a pass, and he just has this ability.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this earlier off air, Steve, you know, is that his brain or is that just how well he fits into the system? Because he knows if he puts balls in these areas, the players are going to be there or moving into them.
I think the system fits him really in general. I think he's that intelligent that Guardiola gives him a license to do what he wants. I remember reading an interview about him, and apparently when he's coached, when he was training, when he was younger, he said he reminded him of Cruyff, because Cruyff, like Kev apparently, most players see the like 10-20 metres around him. You reckon that De Bruyne can see 67 metres around him and almost like see the pitch top down. He's an absolutely special player. And I think tonight he could be absolutely crucial, because I think it's going to be a tighter game than we realise. I think De Bruyne has obviously got a bit of magic in his boots. He's got an ability to kind of pull nothing out of the hat. But fingers crossed, he's at his very best tonight. But anyway, we'll be back after a little break in a bit. We're going to be talking about the team news. Fingers crossed by the time we're back, we should know the 11, and hopefully there's not too many surprises in there. I want it a nice, strong team. But anyway, guys, we'll be back after the break with more of the Bloom Rising Show.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Thanks for joining us, the Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. I'm Ant McGinley, alongside me, Alex Hilton and Steve McInerney. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so very easily.
Yeah, give us a text, 87711. Get in touch on Twitter, at MCR Footy Social. Or give us a ring, 0345 111 7625. Don't be scared, there's still time to join in. We'd love to hear from you.
Guys, guess what? Team news has actually happened. Right. Do you know what? There's a few surprises here, and it's made us look like right mugs based on what we've been saying. We've got Edison in goal, so no surprises
Shocker.
There. Walker, Laporte, Otamendi, and the big drum roll for left back. Have a guess.
The invisible man, Fabian Delph.
Yeah, Fabian Delph is left back. Where's happened there? Then we got Fernandinho, Gundogan, Silva, no De Bruyne in midfield. Gundogan and Silva, the creative roles there, Silva being the captain. No Bernardo. Bernardo's not even in the squad from what I can tell, which Whoa. Is absolutely terrifying. Then we've got Mahrez, Sterling and Sergio Aguero get start. Where do we start with that team? It's absolutely wild and not what I was expecting. And how big is that for Mahrez and Delph, two players out from the cold there? Initial reactions, guys?
Yeah, it's massive.
Well, like I said, this is a game where we do have a comeback if it all goes wrong. And we've got a big couple of games ahead of us as well, so I think you can't look at this game in pure isolation. I do really like Delph. He gets a bit enthusiastic sometimes with some of his tackles, but I think although otherwise he's honest, and I think he's been brilliant as a left back. I think he's played far more games at left back than he's played in his, because he's more like a defensive midfielder, centre midfielder, isn't he, traditionally. So I've been very pleased with him, especially last season. I think he'll do all right for us tonight.
He's going to have to, really, isn't he? Because Pep will absolutely throttle him if he doesn't. So
he's got to do. I love Fabian Delph. I genuinely think he's like one of the most important players in the squad, because he can play in midfield, he can play left back. I think people forget last year Fabian Delph was the best left back in England.
Yeah,
well, fact. He's a player that would he would die to be on that pitch tonight, Fabian Delph, and he absolutely works his socks off. He's a great player to have on your team. He gives it a bit of bite, and tonight it could be a famous one. And it's players like him you need on the pitch to make a difference.
Well, there's no Mendy on the bench, so I guess that answers one of the problems anyway. I guess Mendy is, for whatever reason, hope it's not like a relapse or a bit of swelling or something like that, but he's not involved. So in terms of our defensive options on the bench, we've got Kompany and John Stones essentially there. They've got De Bruyne, Sane, Gabriel Jesus and Phil Foden. No Bernardo Silva. That is genuinely terrifying. Where is Bernardo? Pep's right-hand man this season in terms of reliability.
Yeah. But then again, like I say, like I'm just looking at the fixtures ahead. So we've got Palace coming up on Sunday, and then that's
he's not in the squad though.
But you've got two games against Spurs, which are crucial. One in the league, the second leg of this game, and then it's the derby, and all those games are very important. So to give Bernardo a couple of days, I can see that, and also it gives a wonderful opportunity for Mahrez here. You know, Mahrez, you know, he's still managed to rack up 11 goals for us this season, but still, generally the feeling is he hasn't delivered, and I think he's still. Am I right? He's still our record signing.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's so. This is an opportunity for him to do it, and he's in Champions League again. So
Yeah, it's a really big night for Morris, and obviously he has the quality there. There's more changes than I've suspected, I'm not going to lie. The Bernardo thing I'm generally baffled by, it must be an injury, it must be a doubt, because he'd be on the bench ahead of Phil Foden because he's so versatile and because of his seniority.
I don't doubt that Bernardo is more senior than Phil Foden.
And he's better.
It's an injury. I think I wouldn't put it past Pep that Pep's always got the thing that no one's undroppable, no one's more important than the team, and I think that he doesn't fear giving anyone a rest. And
he wouldn't rest him now, though, would he? Well, do you remember the quote from the documentary, which I can't say now? It's like when he said, "You're tired, bleep you," and that's what he said. So apparently, he doesn't really do tired at this time of the season. I think he'd be on the bench if Aguero was involved in this game. A man who's only trained one training session, surely Bernardo would be on the bench.
But which game do you rest him for?
Well, I think to put him on the bench, just not play him, because he's not going to get. I don't know. To me, it seems it must be. It just has to be. I'm going to do that thing where you search around and see if there's actually any kind of news on that. Aguero, though, is this a good call? Are we taking a bit of a risk here, given, you know, that he's obviously just got back to full fitness?
Well, the thing is, like, he's just been on fire. This sort of post-Christmas, he had a bit of a wobble, a bit of an injury, and I think people got upset last week because of the two games, and people made him their double captain in fantasy football, and then he got dropped, so they were a little bit worried about that. But no, I think Aguero will do very well tonight again. And, I was so pleased that Gabriel got the goal and the cup as well, so he's not a bad backup to have on the bench for him.
I think, you know, Sergio will do what Sergio does, doesn't he? And I'm sure he'll probably only play 60 minutes before he's introduced. My big worry, and I wouldn't have started him for the reason being, that he's got a yellow card. He's got the one booking, and he's barred, I guess, Champions League banned for one game. I would rather have him definitely available and fit and firing for the second leg at home, which I think is where this tie will be won and lost. And also then, if he does get the suspension in that game, it's the first leg of the semi-final rather than the second leg of the semi-final.
Is that how it works? I didn't realise that.
It's the next jump.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Don't they do a wiping stage at this?
I think they've passed that stage now, I reckon.
My expertise doesn't go beyond the quarterfinals for Manchester City final, unfortunately.
Otamendi's also on a yellow as well. I mean, a lot of people are saying on Twitter that maybe we should have had company at centre-back and then maybe Laporte at left-back, given the fact he's played there this season. Against Salah, the Liverpool game was really good there. I can slightly see that point of view. Am I slightly overreacting here, worrying about this team? Because, you know, we still are a better team than Spurs. I've not even seen Spurs' lineup yet.
They've only just released it. I've got it right here.
Go on.
So, interesting from Spurs, they've gone 4-2-3-1. Hugo Lloris starts in goal and he wears the armband. Kieran Trippier, Toby Alderweireld, Jan Vertonghen, Danny Rose as a back four. Sissoko, Harry Winks starts for Spurs.
Okay.
What a night for him. And then there's three, Eriksen, Dele and Son behind Harry Kane. So a pretty attacking lineup that. Big night for Harry Winks, I think. I know he's been playing a lot of football for Spurs lately, but that'll be one of the biggest games that he's played in, I'm sure. And I think I like that lineup. I really fancy David Silva and Ilkay Gundogan to give Sissoko and Harry Winks a really hard night. And do you know what? Riyad Mahrez likes to turn a player inside out. Big fan of Kieran Trippier, but one-on-one, I think
Mahrez
is
bad as well at the moment.
Yeah,
he really
is. He's got a mistake in him. I think I sort of quite like the idea of Mahrez getting some out of him tonight.
I'd hope so, because we all know that Mahrez has the ability, but I think it's fair to say, from any City fan's perspective, we're surprised he's starting tonight. I mean, that's fair, because I'm not saying he's been ostracised, but his form... Guardiola does. He's a fair manager. If you're the best player in the position, you'll play yet. And at the moment, obviously, it's been Bernardo keeping Sane out of the team. No Sane as well, which is interesting. You know, Mahrez has leapt ahead. Would you be worried now if you were Leroy Sane? Because, you know, you think you'd be next in line, given you got like 15 goals and however many assists so far this season, that you think you'd be the one to play with Sterling as well at wide when Bernardo's not in the squad at all?
I don't know, because like there was that moment at the start of the season where he was out for quite a few games and there was a lot of talk, and obviously I think he was having a baby at the time and things were unsettled at home for him. And but he was so good when he came in, and maybe as well, it's just like he's still like, what, how old is he, 21?
Oh, yes, for that, yeah.
Yeah. So he's still a relatively young player, and maybe he's just kind of like pacing him through the season. I wouldn't worry, and I think I've been disappointed with Mahrez, but I really want to see him to do well. I'm fully behind him tonight. I'm not putting any money on him, but in other ways, I'm fully behind him.
He's got to step up tonight, essentially, because... Yeah. I hate it, this side of it, but it happens with every team. There's always one guy who's going to get a bit more stick, especially given the fact he missed a penalty this season in a big game. So people in general aren't really keen on Mahrez at the moment, but this could be his night for redemption, really. I guess, you know, sometimes you need a big moment. And in the Champions League, I know there was a second leg, but this game could go a long way to decide how far we go in this competition. Like, yeah, it's huge for him. And if he scores the winner tonight, I guess, or at least gets an away goal, that could be absolutely critical, couldn't it, in the second leg?
So. Certainly, because I think it's a redemption is a really interesting word, because there's this weird atmosphere around Mahrez at the minute. Although I feel very conflicted, because we're very spoiled as City fans, and Mahrez would start for every team outside the top four in the Premier League. I believe that, and I include United and Chelsea in that, I think, at the minute. We forget how good a player Mahrez is. He's got 11 goals this year, and yet City fans moan about him.
Yeah,
he's a little bit frustrating to watch at times. There's a little bit of the Jesus Navas syndrome that creeps in a little with him, but he's you know, that's a lovely problem to have when a luxury player like Riyad Mahrez is perhaps the weak link in the squad. That said, he's a £60 million footballer, and a similar price that we play for Kevin De Bruyne. Think of the amazing things that De Bruyne has achieved in the Premier League alone, and everything else on top of that. You do need Mahrez to start paying off his price tag, and those sorts of players have to have a big moment in their history. If Mahrez scored a winner tonight, or there was a wonderful cross that created a goal, and we talked about that Mahrez cross from Spurs away in the Champions League, it would give him his moment to go, look, I am an elite footballer, this is what I do.
I'm being devil's advocate here. Is the danger that he's already had that moment, his big moment and his big season was with Leicester?
Oh, yeah, but in terms of in Manchester City folklore, you know, and 100%, he won the Premier League for the season. He doesn't have any critics to answer in what he's capable of. But then he was a £500,000 footballer.
True.
That had come out of the French second division and had no one to impress. He was going to pick his own price tag, but if you move for £60 million, I want to see some results. I want to see some £60 million worth of football.
Here's a little stat for you. Fabian Delph starting off. We've already talked about what we think about that. He's only started two games in 2019, Burton and Swansea. So I think it's fair to say, given his injuries at the moment, this is a big ask for him. It's a big step up, because I think he's annoyed Pep, didn't he, with, like, you know, his sendings off and whatever, and in general, kind of, he's been quite rash. But I want to know, like, is Fabian Delph of last season, that form, was it kind of an anomaly in general? Is this like mean reversion, so he's gone back to where he should be?
No, I think it's just that Zinchenko stepped up. I think that's what it is. I think Zinchenko has just got a lot better, and I think that's the position that he's in. We've not got much time left, so before we go, I just want to mention the fact that obviously we've got the derby on the 24th, and we're running a thing on the @MCR Footy Social Twitter page at the minute, where we took in some votes for the worst ever combined City United 11 ahead of the derby. The voting is open for right backs at the moment. So if you want to get on Twitter and have a look at that, it's at MCR Footy Social. Have you had a look at these and had your two pen a thing?
Well, it's got to be Gary Neville, surely. It's got to be Gary Neville.
And quickly, just before we go as well, predictions for the score tonight?
You know what? I'd be happy with 1-1.
Yeah, I'm going to go score draw, but I'm going to go for an exciting 1-2-2.
I'm going to be bold. I'm going to say Mahrez is going to score a goal. I'm going to say it's going to be a 2-1 victory to Manchester City Football Club. That will do me.
I think Mahrez was going to score one of the goals in the draw. maybe he'll score two. He'll score one for us and one for them. Well, that's it for us now. You can download this as a podcast as well. All you've got to go is look for Manchester City Football Social wherever you get your podcast. So it just leaves it for me to say thank you to Steve McInerney.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to Alex Hilton.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
I'm Ant McGinley. We're off to watch the football somewhere nearby. Come and join us if you fancy it.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show.
Thanks for listening to the Manchester Football Social. This is the Manchester City Social. If you want to subscribe to this one in particular, search Manchester City Social, Football Social on your podcast provider. There's also a red half if you're that way inclined, Manchester United Football Social. And don't forget as well, the Manchester Football Social covers both sides of the town. Anyway, my name is Stephen McInerney, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alex, thank you very much. He's off mic.
Thank you very much.
There we go. And we will see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.